This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. By just about this point in the summer, you may feel like you've burned out on movies based on comic books. But Chicken with Plums, adapted by the Iranian exile Marjan Satrapi from her graphic novel, is something different. Very, very different. Instead of superheroes or explosions, it's the story of a virtuoso violinist in Tehran in the 1950s who loses his will to live.
Pas maintenant. Désormais, tu es un grand musicien.
It's a strange and dreamy melange of memories and secrets that coalesce into this universal story set in a particular time and place. Marjan Satrapi's first movie was the Oscar-nominated Persepolis, about coming of age during the Iranian Revolution. And she is here with me now to talk about her second film. Marjan, welcome back to Studio 360.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be back here.
So Chicken with Plums began life as your graphic novel written years ago. How did it get turned into this new movie?
I was very lucky because in a very naive way, when I made Persepolis, I said to myself, okay, now I'm an Oscar nominee and, you know, I will go to some guys and I will say, I will make a next movie. They will open a door in which, you know, is a room with full of dollars and I can take all the dollars I want and I will make a
film. That's not how it worked?
No, of course, because, you know, if you have made an animation in black and white that has worked, they want you to make another animation in black and white.
And maybe in English this time.
Maybe in English about the same subject, you know, and why do you want to do that? You know, it has worked. So, and you're like, you know, I don't have so many years to live and, you know, I want just to try new things.
It's so interesting that you say that this idea that, you know, you don't have much time to live. You're young, you do probably. But for an artist to live as though you don't have that much time to live, and why waste time doing just some boring thing that you know you can do, right?
Absolutely. But, you know, like I'm 41 and, you know, like basically since I'm a huge smoker and I do all sorts of things, you know, really to be effective and being able to work, let's say, is until 71 years old. So I have 30 years and each project takes me about 3 years. So, you know, it's 10% each time.
Right.
10 times per 10%.
I'm with
and
you.
And it's done.
I'm with
you.
So,
you know, I have to think about each 10% that I take.
The sort of main part, the main romantic, tragic drama looks and feels and sounds like a sort of 1950s back lot melodrama, Douglas Sirk or somebody. Is that because you love those movies or because that's the shorthand way that we all think of the 1950s looking and feeling?
I love those movies. I mean, you know, like one of the joy of my life is, you know, to put some Douglas Sirk film because, you know, he's not scared at all to go far. You know, like he does not put any limit. He's not scared of being romantic. He's not scared of being sensational. I love the look of his film. I love the actors. I love Douglas Sirk. So, you know, if it makes you think of him, I take that as a compliment.
I thought as I was watching it of Wes Anderson in his intricate attention to physical detail. But did you have a model cinematically?
No, not one. Billions of models, you know, like a celebration of all the cinema that I saw, you know, from, you know, Powell and Pressburger, you know, to Lubitsch, you know, to Murnau, Hitchcock, William Wyler, I can just go on. The fact is that I come from illustration and I love to do things with the hand. So, you know, when I make a movie, of course, every detail, from the color of the brick to, you know, the down of the skirt of the woman, of the, you know, the laces of the shoes, like everything is of a major importance to me. And, like in this movie, like 95% of the special effect, there are mechanical special effects that are made directly.
Not digital.
No, not digital because, you know, it's because of that I think that the actors, they're very good because how fun is that, you know, to play in front of a green screen? But when you have everything that is constructed, then you are even for an actor, he's in a real playground.
Well, and speaking of things constructed, it must have been awesome to say, okay, I want a house like this and a street like this and then suddenly show up at a studio one day and see your world built.
Jesus, it was unreal because, you know, I was really working really hand in hand with the set designer. And I can tell you something, like, you know, the garden of the house, like, you know, like everything is fake. But it looked so real that even after 2 days, we had a colony of ants that were living between, you know, all these plastic things. So, you know, like even animals, they believe that actually that existed.
You fooled the animals. You fooled the insects. Yeah. What was the great difficulty, I could imagine, rather than all these individual parts, which you can make and make by hand, most of them, what was the difficulty making it all hang together? Was that the challenge?
It is a challenge, but, you know, since I enjoy very much being around people, it's not like something that I suffer from. Because, you know, I'm an only child and all my life I've been alone. And then I was a cartoonist. So I made this solitarian work at my drawing table for, you know, 7-8 years. And then suddenly I realized that, wow, I can work with other people.
So that collaboration thing, you're a natural, which a lot of graphic artists and solitary people wouldn't be at all.
Yes, at the beginning it was difficult. Believe me, when I started making Persepolis and, you know, like in the morning, like most of the smokers, I'm really in a bad mood. Like, you know, the three first months, you know, like all these people, the animators, they were coming to make Persepolis. They came in and they said hello. And the fact of having to smile and say hi back, it was so difficult that every night I was praying God that he will kill all of them. So, you know, like all of them would be dead and I should not see their faces anymore. But then, you know, if something happened, you know, maybe I was brainwashed. But anyway, you know, after 3 months, I really enjoyed, and I like really enjoyed that suddenly for something that is as vain as a film. Because a film is, you know, is after all, it's just a film. It's 1.5 hours of a dream or something. You have 100 person who are, you know, adults, you know, with a brain that is well-made, intelligent people. They are so convinced that everybody goes in such a same direction just to make this 1.5 hour of dream true that I think is something so romantic, so beautiful in that makes me really enjoy.
Had you ever worked with actors before?
Well, you know, I directed them for the Persepolis,
but the voices.
Yes, exactly. No, not really, but you know.
And big famous actresses like Isabella Rossellini.
Yes. Actually, it was very difficult because, you know, I started shooting with her and she was the person who impressed me the most. I was so scared of her because Isabella Rossellini,
yeah.
You know.
And she plays the hero's mother.
Yes. And, you know, but she's so gentle and she's not a diva at all. And she's such a nice woman that, you know, she puts you in ease and you feel very comfortable with her. You really have the feeling as a friend that, you know, since a long time.
You were very lucky with the actors you got in this film. Now that you are a director of actors, do you have a whole wish list of I want to work with her and him and her and him?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there are actors that I see, you know, for years and I'm like, wow, they are so great. And if I can work with them.
Like who?
Like, for example, I love Jeff Bridges, just to say about an American actor. I love this actor. Every time I see him, I think just he's amazing. I love Steve Buscemi. I think he is like beyond belief. I love him. These are the kind of actor that I would.
Okay. Here they are. You've expressed your love. I think we can line them up for you.
I hope so.
It's mostly set in 1958, and I was waiting, given that Persepolis had this political thing for, okay, when's she really going to get to the fact that a few years before the CIA in the United States got rid of this elected Democratic leader? But you really don't go there.
I go there a little bit because in the discussion with the brother mentioned that. But the most symbolic thing is the name of the lover is Iran, and that is the equivalent.
The hero's unrequited love, her name is Iran.
You know, this is this love that he has lost that inspires him for everything, and he knows that he can never have her. So I just wanted to keep it underneath.
As an allegorical thing.
Absolutely. Because, you know, I have made something that, like Persepolis, I don't have anything more to say about that. I have already expressed myself plainly, fully. I don't have anything more.
Right.
As a result, you know, I think even if this movie is not at all political, if people can go and watch this film, find it beautiful and say, wow, in this country, a man can die of a love of a woman. I think I have done better than any kind of slogan, and that would be enough.
Given that this is not a political film, particularly at all, do you imagine that it will play in Iran today?
Yeah, and I'm part of the black market, you know, like Persepolis. Of course, it will not go on screen because, you know.
But this could go on screens.
No,
No?
Because, no, because, you know, you see like, you know, for 30 seconds, you see a naked woman and then that is kissing and these things. These are the kind of thing that they don't like to show over there. So it will never go on screen. But, you know, Iranian, they see all sorts of film. So, you know, it comes out in America 2 days after it's in Iran. So they will watch it, of course.
Marjan Satrapi, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Marjan Satrapi's new film, Chicken with Plums, opens this weekend. ای مونس عاشقان روشنایی آسمان